Shalom,
Blog
shalom,
Talk
everyone.
Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Israel. I'm sorry for the delay. I was researching some information, and the time kind of got away from me. I'm going to play a song for you, and I hope you enjoy it. And here we go.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. We're glad to have you here today. Thank you so much for being such a diligent listener. I'm going to get my co-host on the line right quick so that we can start our show. Brother Donnie, are you there?
Shalom, shalom. Can you hear me?
I can hear you very well. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, pretty good. No complaints at all whatsoever. So tell me something good. You know, we have to begin our conversation with current events. What's been happening with you? What have you found out anything good today over the weekend?
I can't say that I have found anything that would interest these the folks here, you know, on the radio station. Some good things always happen to me personally. Mm-mm. But, you know, all the other stuff is news. You know, it's about mayhem and murder, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, all
so,
other stuff.
You know, we had invited.
Country. No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying we had invited a few people to the show today. We're waiting on them to come online so we can start our show. Remember, we're having this prayer starting Monday. At 9 o'clock.
Okay.
And for everyone who's interested in the prayer on Monday, we need for you to. We're going to be praying from Psalms 109, and we're going to pray the whole chapter before the Most High at 9 o'clock. We're having people to pray this prayer all over the world. They're in different countries praying this prayer, and this is in response to the things that we're going through here in this nation. So. If you're interested in joining us, we're not going to make it difficult. 9 o'clock, we're going to go down on our knees. We're going to ask Yah for forgiveness, and then we're going to pray the prayer that King David prayed against his enemy. So we would like you very much, if you're interested in doing this, please join us at 9 o'clock p.m. wherever you are. Okay, Brother Donia, so we got that out of the way. So tell me about this young man that you were introduced to yesterday.
Yes, he called into the Pow Talk program. I think it was Voices from the Land, and he made some very good admissions regarding us in this captive state, and that he'd be totally interested in taking a look at what we got going on. They're having an elders conference in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. and I think it's going to be in October. He's supposed to come on to the radio show today. He may be able to give you more information on that. They went to Washington. Did you get his did they get that link to that?
I did.
That huh?
Yeah. I did.
Yeah, they have other videos that they've done. If you had done a little bit more deeper investigation, but they was at Washington, the Capitol, and they proclaimed the Exodus. You understand? And you know he's a vibrant, spry young man, and we might want to give him a listen to see what he's got and what he's interested in doing. You know, it's very good, I think. Mm-hmm. Did you get a chance to see it?
I did. I got a chance. I viewed it, and it was very interesting. I mean, it's something that you know that we're on the right page because so many people are doing the same thing. You know,
that is correct.
That, you know, the United Nations of Israel went to Washington, D.C., and stood, mm-hmm. I think, in that very same spot and proclaimed that they mm-hmm. were building a nation, and, you know, the nation of Yehuda went with the United Nation of Israel to Washington, D.C., and stood on the grounds of the Capitol building, and we did the very same, proclaim that it is time for us mm-hmm. to gather as a nation as we prepare for the Exodus. So when you see other groups doing the same thing, then you know that you're on the right page, and you know, and you continue, and you move forward accordingly. So I think that, you know, the energy that's in the air right now is that everyone is preparing for the Exodus and us actually leaving and going, you know, leaving here. So I wonder how people can dispute that. You know what I'm saying? I just don't understand.
Okay. Well, you know, we always going to have naysayers and everything. But you know what? The Almighty bless who he wants to bless. And if we're doing the right thing, the Almighty will show favor in that. So far, it looks to me, as far as what's going on, you understand, he's showing the nation of Yehuda some favor by getting us the peoples that we need to make this happen. You understand? It's not an easy walk. You understand? We're doing something that has never been done. We're building the nation of Yehuda, you understand, and it's not going to be such an easy thing. We have to put people in this place, you know. So it's just we got to continuously do what we're doing, you understand, and everything will pan out, you understand. As we look and see, the Almighty told us to gather ourselves. You understand? And so the nations are trying, you know, people in the nations now are trying to gather themselves. You understand what I'm saying? But we need to bring it all under one heading. We got to be all on one page at some point. You understand? And so, you understand, but it's time now. The Almighty, people who say it's going, you know, 2019 is when the Almighty going to show up. You understand? But I think that we have to judge that by the signs and the wonders that they speak of in Yoel. You understand? We're gonna be all over the place if we try to put numbers on things. You understand? None of us can pinpoint it, but we can see by what's going on in the earth. You understand? The time is we losing 2 days out of a week every week. You know, before you look around, it's gonna be Shabbat again. You know.
Yeah.
But it's our time now. You understand? You know, everybody had their chance to try to straighten this out, which they never really. They had ulterior motives, I'm sure. You understand? Otherwise, it would have been straightened. And the Almighty is the one that's orchestrating all of this. He's gonna get the glory from the earth. That's what he wants. Hallelujah.
That is very true. I mean, you know, we've got to stay focused. You know, even if they don't, you know, feel like they have to come up under the nation of Yehuda, you know, just do what the Most High has called you to do. You know, our job is to be obedient, you know, and whatever that is, because all of the parts will come together to make a complete whole. And that's what we always have to remember. In anything that we do as it pertains to him is to be obedient, because there's a lot of stuff going on in that lets us know from a prophetic standpoint that some serious, I mean, you know, it would take a blind man not to be, a blind man could see this.
That is correct.
The world is disrupting right before our eyes, right in front of us, you know, so our job is to stay focused, do what we're called to do, build a nation, be skillful at it, you know, and do what we're supposed to do, and watch the Most High do the rest, because the battle is not ours, the war is not ours, you know, because like we said last week, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through Yah to the pulling down of strongholds. So, you know, once we understand that, and that's done through prayer, you know, that we will be able to get a lot of things done. But I think that the most difficult thing in this whole program is to watch the same people that's been out in front do and say the same things that they said for years and years, and not equate them with the machine that has kept us in the dark for so long. You know, we have got to cut the television off and stop listening to so all of the rhetoric that's being said and done, and start focusing on building a nation, because that's the only way our power is going to come. And, you know, it's like I was talking to someone today. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be lost.
You got that right. You're one for one. You're absolutely right.
It is. I mean, a lot of people are going to be lost, you know, and you have to be okay with that. I mean, you have to come to grips with the fact that there's a lot of people that won't make it in the first wave. I'll say that. You know, there's a lot of people are going to sit back and call us idiots and fools, and we don't have good sense, and we're walking away from, and we're giving up, and you're doing this, that, and the other. And then when they finally see what's going to go down, because what we've been telling them all along, there's already foreign troops on American soil.
Yep. See, this is not one of those things where you can say, oops, I made a mistake. It could cost you your life.
Yes.
You know, or it can cost your family, somebody in your family that you love and care for. You understand? So my thing is that if the Almighty can inspire you to do something, I don't care what what organization or how you do it, but you got to do it. You understand what I'm saying? We left here for a purpose. We ain't left here, you understand, to watch this stuff crumble right underneath our feet. We need to do something. The Almighty said that He would save us. He would hide us in the day of His great when He brings out His indignations on those folks that kept us captive. You understand? So we got to trust in Him. He said He's going to protect us. That's why we still here, so that we can do something to get our children out of this mess. This is a terrible mess here. I say one day, excuse me for interrupting, I can't say that one day, if I look back, that I've been totally comfortable in this captivity. I can't say that.
Yeah.
You understand? Because I've always...
You know that's the truth.
I've always been on pins and needles, you understand? My kids, I'm telling you, they took an old lady, 86 years old. She had a knife in her hands, I'm sure. I mean, the way it looked it. You understand? But they throwed her on the ground and bust her head open. 86 years old. They don't have no respect for no elders and no consideration for no children. You understand? They got all our children locked up, you understand, in them penitentiaries, you understand, going through who knows what. You understand what I'm saying? And for a crime that is only is payable by a fine. Whew, I'm telling you. And they give them 3 years. Then when they come out, they can't get no job because they ain't got no job history. Come on. You understand? We got to do something. Mm-hmm. We can't just sit back and let our children just perish like that. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Think about it for a minute. You understand? We are responsible for our children. You understand? And it only could happen now. It could not have happened in the past. You understand? Because it's happening during the time that the Almighty is getting ready to close ranks on these folks. You understand? So I just say, man, we do what you got to do. You understand? Find somebody. If you can't do a physical thing, send $5 a week. $5 a week, man, could help us build an entrepreneurship for somebody, so that they can pay the tithes. Because when the smoke clears and the dust settles, Jacob shall be saved. And we got to do something to make Jacob to be saved. Hallelujah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, when you understand the curse, and someone just made a comment, they said, let me read what they said. He says, the scripture says, this generation shall get no sign, except the sign of Jonah in Luke 11:29. He said, don't get me wrong, I understand the goal, but I see error in your understanding. We as a nation have no power, we're still cursed. That's where I believe you're wrong, and my response was, we have the power of prayer, and He will show up on our behalf, because the power that we have been given down through the years, we're no longer being hung on trees.
We're no longer
being burned at the stake. So some things have changed. They've changed to the point that even though we're in the curse, that there has been a change in the treatment that we've received. So prayer does change things, and the Most High will do things to change it on our behalf. Now, we were speaking earlier today about the first group that came here where Deuteronomy said you would be taken from the land and you would see it no more. Those people died. They'll never see the land that they were taken from ever again, but we will. We're on our way back home. So when you rightly divide the word, then you understand that even though we're in the curse, and we all still know the curse is very well prevalent, we still have to understand that the Most High has given us a power. The Holy Spirit is still in the earth, and it is the same power that we can call on him, and the thing will change. We are not in the same condition we were 400 years ago. We're not picking cotton. We're not being, even though we're not treated like we should, we're not being treated the way we were treated back then. So I think you got to be careful when you tell people that we don't have any power, because the power of prayer is always going to be prevalent, and it's always going to mean something.
That is correct. If you look back on David's, was it David, Solomon, Moshe, Daniel, Ezekiel, all of the prophets prayed when we was in some kind of discomfort, you understand, and there was some results. How do we know that there was results? Because we still here. The Almighty said that we're going to be here, you understand, forever. So, I mean, and I'm not going to quote verbatim the scriptures, but for sure, you understand, we cannot sit back and just do nothing when our children is at stake. I'm telling you, you understand? So you can say what you want to say, and I understand what the scriptures mean to everybody, but I still say he's not going to do anything to us if we try to do something to save ourselves. I don't believe that at all. I believe that he will protect us. And one other thing, you understand? See, the God, the Almighty, the creator of all things is our God. He will show us favor. Hallelujah.
Yes, he will. And he tells you, if my people were to call by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will they hear from heaven and then will I heal their land. So there are some fail-safe remedies in this word. People, Christianity, let me tell you, we got a whole church full of folks today. Our people that is in Christianity, and the power that Christianity has is the fact that they use the word. And the word is still powerful, and it's still going to be powerful. And the reason why they are still sustaining themselves today is because they use that same word to manipulate or whatever they choose to do for the writing. So if they can use it, we can use it, because those are the words that protect us and keep us. For the ones who don't want to participate, don't participate. If you feel like we're under the curse and we ain't got no hope, don't have no hope. But
I'm
telling you, who are interested in joining and being with us, let's go together and pray, because we have to pray for our young people. We have to pray against our enemies, because the Most High will come to your defense on our behalf. He will do that. There's no doubt about that. I know he will.
That is correct. He stood up the sun for Joshua for 24 hours till Joshua completed what he had to complete in the eyes of the Almighty, that the Almighty ordained them to take that land. So there's nothing in this world that the Almighty won't do for his people. I'm going to be honest with you, you understand? From my point of view, you understand? We just got to be honest with him. We got to be honestly trusting the Almighty. Look at what he's doing. He told us to gather ourselves. And that's all we got to do. That's our only job. Look what the Most High got to do. He got to straighten out all that nation. He's straightening out that land so that we can go home. You understand? He's manipulating them folks, man, that they fighting one another to destroy one another. And when when the smoke clears and the dust settles, Jacob shall be saved. Now, out of that, now here's the kicker. We got to have some kind of government, some kind of rules, regulations. We can't go over there, you understand, and expect to go over there, everybody under their different understandings. That's not going to happen. That's why we out of there in the place. Hallelujah.
Absolutely. And the beautiful part about it is that the Most High does things decent and in order. And, you know, sometimes you just have to let the people be the people. You know, and if that's what people are, then you be the people. And if you feel like that, then that's how you feel. You have every right to feel the way you feel. But the word clearly says that we have an out and we have a remedy. And we just call on him and he'll be there at our defense. So, you know, this is where we are in terms of the things that we're doing. We're making it accessible. And we will always have people who don't agree. And you have a right not to agree. And everyone has a right to see the word the way they do and to believe it the way they do. You know, if you don't, wait, let me see what he says. He says, you have only been awakened. There's a mystery you don't know yet. The time is not yet, but remember what God, Jesus said, how you must know, how you must enter the kingdom. You don't know the whole truth. Really? Okay, well, I tell you what, then enlighten us, because we definitely would like to know.
That is correct. You understand? You know, well, here's my thing. You understand? Here's my take on what that is that, man, don't do nothing. Just stand on the side and let us do what we need to do, what the Almighty gave us the inspiration to do. You understand? Because as long as you sit back and do nothing, won't nothing happen. And we've been sitting up here waiting on this rapture for how long? 400 years almost, if not 400 years. You understand? And if you don't believe in the curse and how there's a time period for this curse, and they're getting ready to get out of here. They're getting ready to get totally annihilated from what the Almighty said in the scriptures. If you read from the front to back, you understand? If you want to include, if you start from the beginning of Genesis and read all the way through, you'll get the same conclusion that I've come to. I'm talking about if you want to put the New Testament in there, you can do that too if you want to. It all speaks about the same thing, going back to the land, to going back to our homeland, our inheritance. That's what it talks about.
Absolutely.
Okay, and at no time and no place in the scripture does it say that this place is ours. No place.
Correct. I agree 100%. I definitely agree 100%. So, like I said, there are many interpretations of what people believe is happening, how people believe it's going to happen. All I can tell you is whatever it is that he has had for you to do, do it. If this
okay.
is not it, don't participate. It's simple as that. Just don't participate. We don't go back and forth with scriptures. We don't debate scriptures on this thing, because that's the problem with Israel. We spend too much time trying to debate and convince people that the way we see the scriptures are right. So, I mean, you know, it's just we have to do what we need to do. You know what I'm saying? And brother, at Hebrew Today, if you want to call in, you are more than welcome. I'll put you on the line, and we can all have this conversation. And we'll definitely email you once this is over with. So we have a lot of things that we have to take care of. The Most High does things decent and in order. And we are moving toward us leaving this place. We are leaving this place. We are leaving this place very, very soon. So, you know.
Yeah. You know, how we recognize that the Almighty is getting ready to destroy this place. Let's take a look at the signs and the wonders that the Almighty had put in place for us to recognize when he's coming. Take a look at Yoel, the second chapter. You can read the first chapter if you want to, but it only speaks of what the Almighty going to do himself. And what we have to look forward to is in the second chapter, second verse, I think it is. And it talks about how there's going to be a blood moon, and the sun is going to turn real dark, and other events is going to happen during that particular time. Now, they mentioned in the scriptures that there's four blood moons, if I'm not mistaken. Now, I haven't read that, but somebody told me something similar. And we've only had three. The next blood moon is going to be in Pesach, the 15th of next year. You understand? In April, I think. You understand? And so those are the things that we need to be looking at. He said that he was going to hasten the time. And trust me, the time is hastening. You understand? You know. And he said that he was going to turn our captivity. This is the Almighty I'm talking about, that said he was going to turn our captivity right before our eyes. And if we look, we'll see We ain't been chained, whipped, beaten, maimed, and murdered in the numbers that we used to be. That's part of it. So all of these things, man, you know, you understand, is evidence to that the Almighty is on his way. And when he show
okay,
up, he going to... Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Brother Donald.
No, that's
so
quite all right.
I was just going to say, I have a lot of people in queue in the chat line, and I have a person that has said that they're in queue. Now, I'm going to warn you, if this is not legitimate, we're going to disconnect your call.
Okay.
And every time we go through this and we have something like this, they start calling in and they start playing. But, I'm going to warn you now, if I open up the line and there's anything that's illegitimate about the call, I'm going to disconnect your call.
All right.
Anything. So, area code 480, I'm opening up your line. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hey, hi there. How's it going?
Shalom, who is this?
Good.
My name is Will.
Will, okay.
Yeah, I was just calling because I've been going through a pretty rough time right now. I was raised Jewish, and I was raised in West Philadelphia. And one day, I was just hanging out outside near the playground, and I was just chilling out and maxing and relaxing all cool and, you know, shooting some b-ball outside the school when a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood. And I got in one little fight, and my mom got scared. She said, "You're moving with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air."
Okay, moving on. Here we go. So let me say this. This happens to us every time we're getting ready to do something that is pretty powerful. And that's when you know you're on the right track, because every time we get ready to have one of these type of shows, we get the scoffers and the ones that are sitting in the background, you know, to make things difficult for us. So I want to talk about something today, because I've been talking about this all week. And I want to get this out because I am so tired of people lying. We have so many people that are lying consistently. Now, we did a research at the School of Knowledge this week, and we found out that there's supposed to be a place called Machpelah in Hebron. And this is supposed to be the cave of the patriarchs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's supposed to be six bodies in this cave in Canaan in Hebrew. It's supposed to be Abraham and Sarah. It's supposed to be Isaac and Rebecca. And it's supposed to be Jacob and Leah. Now,
okay.
Down through the years, this has been captured by different empires and have been carted off and protected by the Muslims, and they wouldn't let the fake Jews come up and do what they're doing. Now, it would seem like to me that if these people have access to the cave, the actual cave where Abraham is buried, they would have had on the news, blasted all over CNN, CBS, ABC, and all of that Abraham is a white man. Now, the fact that you have access to these bodies, supposedly, and this DNA, supposedly, this is the best-kept little secret that the whole world or a whole lot of people don't know anything about. And the reason why is because they know without a shadow of a doubt that those bodies that are buried in that cave are black people.
Okay. That is correct. Absolutely.
Because you know yourself is all of the propaganda that we see on television and all of the religious movies, we got white people in there all through the place. But it just seems funny to me that you have this cave where Abraham bought this particular burial ground for Sarah, not only the burial cave, but he brought the land around the burial cave, and this is the first financial transaction that is recorded in the scriptures.
Okay.
And that you have access to this, but you haven't posted that it's white people in that grave.
Yeah, I understand perfectly.
Sound like something shady to me, because you know very well if they knew that it was white people in that grave, they would be selling tickets and you'd have to pay to get over there to be able to see it, just to be able to prove it. So in reference to that, I want to tell her, stop lying.
Sister Yaina, if they tell the truth, you understand they lose the power. They can't afford to lose the power that they have right now. Right now, you understand, if they mention those type of things, and just like them so-called Europeans, I mean Jews, that's in the land, that's holding that, if they told the truth, they'd lose the land. They want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to be able to proclaim that those people are Europeans that is in the cave, Abraham, you know, see, they got the story all out there. Ain't no story on TV that you can't get that speaks about the scripture that they don't put on TV.
Saying.
Everybody is white.
Damn. That's what
boy,
I'm
boy,
saying.
Boy, you understand? They got the whole world, but see, them in the Middle East, they don't have them people fooled at all. You understand? That's the whole thing, right? They're getting ready to stand up.
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. You know, and I just thought it was strange. All of this information that you have, and you have all of this information available to you, but that's never come out. You, as many archaeologists and anthropologists and all these people with all of these degrees and all of this education and knowledge, you've never brought that to the forefront? Did you have DNA proof? Man, they lying.
Then they have to prove it. You understand? If they have to prove it, then they'll lose that little bit of power that they got. See, they're going around the whole world. See, they got everybody, all those European countries, and Christians to boot, you understand, thinking that they the peoples, and they have all of this power. You understand? But the Almighty gonna, man, trust me, the Almighty gonna get them. And there ain't no doubt about it. I mean, ain't no doubt about it. You understand? The Almighty gonna get them for all of these lies and everything. You understand? They don't have no respect for elders, and they don't have no consideration for the young. So they gonna get it just for that alone. You know? There's nothing that we can do about it, but what we're doing.
It just amazes me, you know, that you, I know it's nobody but the Most High, because he said that he was going to create a people that wasn't a people to provoke us to jealousy the same way that we provoked him to jealousy. But it amazes, it takes the Elohim of Israel to be able to have the whole world fooled. You know, the whole world is in a fog. Everybody's living in this facade, in this fog, because everybody's perpetrating this lie. And it's like you have evidence right here. You claim to have, according to the scriptures, according to Genesis, that you have the actual burial ground that Abraham bought and purchased and the land around it when Sarah died. Sarah was the first reported burial in the scriptures, and Abraham buried her in this cave. You have this cave with his body and her body, and Isaac's body and Rebecca's body, and Jacob's body and Leah's body, but you never brought this out for to be able to show the whole world and say, see, I told you we were the people. I ain't mind that.
They can't tell the truth, Sister Yaya. You know that they're liars, thieves, and murderers. I'm sorry to say.
I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It really is. It's just like, wow, this is some serious business right here, that these people have gone through a lot of changes to try to make this stuff be real.
Yeah.
A lot
you
of
know,
changes.
I mean,
it's unbelievable.
It didn't happen overnight. You understand? Because we were, because of us, that we never learned how to read, you understand? And, you know, even today, you understand, in 1936, I think that we had 150 black folks in Congress that's supposed to have speaking up for us. Now we have over 2,000 in Congress supposed to have, supposedly speaking for us. What I'm saying is that we have had no power to make no admissions today. I mean, in those days, you understand? You know, we can't bring up anything, you understand, because we don't have no proof other than the scriptures. They have all the artifacts. You understand? They have been putting this story out for 400 years, maybe more. You understand? Don't quote me on no figures. You understand? So they have inundated the whole world with that lie that they're telling. You understand? And so right now, they got the whole world fooled. They can't come back and tell no truth. They ain't going to be able to do that. One thing that we know about them folks, you understand, they not going to tell no truth, period. We know that. Look at that stuff, that Ebola stuff. Them people have been living in that land for how many? I mean, black folks have been in that land, Africans, for eons. And now they talking about the people, black people got Ebola. You understand? And a disease that cannot be cured, from what they say. You understand? They cured a couple of white folks that got Ebola. You understand? So they lie. They tell you a bald-faced lie, and you can be looking right at it, and they'll tell you it come from Africans. Come on. You understand? I mean, this is a lie that you can...
Huh? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. They have, my brother Donia, they have DNA proof. If they have access to Maxella, and for everybody who's interested, it is spelled M-A-C-H-P-E-L-A, Maxella. The cave of Maxella is supposed to be the same cave that Abraham purchased to put Sarah's body in. And according to the scriptures, he is supposed to be in the cave with her. It is supposed to be him, her, Isaac, Rebecca, Jacob, and Leah in this grave site that they have confiscated, and supposedly in Hebron. And they have made this big shrine, but no one has ever, all of the testing that they're doing with DNA and all of this stuff, no one has ever said, hey, we're getting ready to prove to you we are the people.
They have to prove it. And if they prove it and they find out that it's one of them tales that they've been telling, you know, they lose the respect of the world. But in truth and honesty, I don't think they even care. They already said, can't nobody do nothing to these folks that's telling these lies. You understand? We can't bring our case to the criminal. Only thing that we can do is call on the Almighty. And he's changed. He's making everything. He's bringing everything out. You understand? Everything that we're in conflict with, the stories that they tell, all of it's going to be told. Everybody going to know. I mean, if they don't know already.
I just want you to hear something, because I want you to hear what they said. Hold on one moment. Here we go.
This is the only building that's been standing here for 2,000 years. We can see the wall built with the exact same method as was built the Western Wall of the Temple Mount, as was built by Herod, the same person who built many other things in Israel. Caesarea, Masada, the Herodian. Here we are in this building that is standing in one piece. It is standing over a big grave, a big cave, where Abraham purchased the cave and the land. If we recall in the stories described in the book of Genesis, Ephron tries to receive from Abraham more money. He insists that Abraham buy not only the cave, but the land around it. And here we see this building is built on caves. We can see the outside caves over here. But the cave itself, where Abraham is buried, is right actually under the corner over here. Right above where I'm standing is the hole called the hole of Isaac. But under it, we know now for a fact, is the double cave, Merat HaMachpelah. Why do I say that we know for a fact? Because two times, people entered through secret entrances. There was once, in 1967, a little girl named Michal, who was lowered down on a rope through a small little hole. She climbs down, she walks through this very dark tunnel, and she photographs whatever she sees, and then they understand the shape of the area. She finally climbs up some stairs. She counts it several times. When she climbs up, she counts 15 stairs. When she climbs down, she counts 16 stairs. But she gets back up, and we know this, what it looks like. In 1981, a group of students from the yeshiva, in an unbelievable way, climbed down another entrance to that same place, and they get deeper than she gets. They reach themselves inside a cave where they find remnants of clay vessels from the time of King David, and they see there also bones and bodies. They're shocked, and they come back up, and they tell the story. The vessels that they found there are presented in the museum in Kiryat Arba, but the story of the double cave, they saw it with their own eyes. And this building, which throughout history was used in the Muslim times as mosques, in the Christian times as church, today serves the Jewish people once again. Came back home to their parents, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca, Jacob and Leah, all three sets of parents, of patriarchs, not are all buried right over here. For several years, the Muslims did not allow the Jews inside the building. Mm-hmm. It was the famous seven stairs that they were allowed to climb up. They climbed up the famous seven stairs. They did not allow them into the building. Those seven stairs are actually right over here. They allowed the Jews to climb up to the seventh stair. The seventh stair was right over here.
All right. Now, what do you say about that? Now, all of it is just unbelievable. And if you want to reference this in Scripture, Genesis chapter 24, Genesis chapter 49, especially 49, because 49 puts everybody in the cave. At the death of Israel, he said, this is what he said. He said, then he charged them and said unto them, I am about to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron, the Hittite, in the field that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought along with the field from Ephron the Hittite for a burial site. There they buried Abraham and his wife Sarah. They buried Isaac and his wife Rebekah. And there I buried Leah. So that is proof that all six bodies are supposed to be in this place. Now you tell me, if they have this access to this, you mean to tell me they ain't been able to prove, man, they lying.
Okay.
They lying. Yeah, Scripture says that all six of them are in that grave site, according to Genesis 49, from 29 to 31.
Yep. I think that's good information for us, you understand, for when we get ready to go back home or for when we're back in the land, you understand, because we already know that them guys going to lie. They going to lie, steal, and murder. You understand what I'm saying?
And then we got to prove, Brother Donnie, then we got to take a DNA test to prove that we're of the bloodline. you take a test, because surely we have the DNA. If those bodies are in that grave, then we have
that
DNA
is,
test. We
that
have
is
the
correct.
Proof that we need.
That is correct. Yes, then we don't need to take no DNA. You are absolutely right. I was against that stuff, man, anyway.
So let me say this again to you all that have just joined in. There is a place in Israel. It is called the Grave of Machpelah. According to Genesis chapter 49, verse 29 through 31, that is the place where Abraham bought, he purchased it when Sarah died. He purchased the cave and the land around the cave, and he buried Sarah in that cave. And when he died, he was buried in that cave. When Isaac died and Rebekah died, they're buried in that cave. And Jacob and Leah are buried in that cave. Now, we need to ask ourselves, according to the big argument is that the people in the land are not the original people. It would seem to me that if this is the case, then they would be able to prove that Abraham was a white man. Because when you look on these television shows, in all of these religious shows, everybody's white. There's not a black face in the crowd. But, my goodness, they just lying.
Yep. You know what I'm saying? But they've been putting that story out for a long time, for 400 years. And being that we have not had the ability to make any kind of strivations in knowing who we are, you understand, we couldn't represent. Now, you understand, all of this stuff is coming out, you understand, and the people who's going to be aware of it, and it primarily is for us, for our people who are skeptical, who are sitting on the fence, you understand, who don't have a true picture of who we are. This is evidence that they could use to find out who they are. You understand?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So,
for,
you know.
For everybody who doesn't believe that they're the Hebrew Israelites of the scriptures, we have been singing it, we have been screaming it, we have been stomping it, we have been doing everything in our power, you know, and I was speaking with someone today about that very thing, that a lot of people's eyes are not open. And a lot of people's eyes are not going to be open. Some people are going to have to go through the process of staying here to understand what's really going on. So, you know, we have to make sure that we get this information out. Like I said, there's a lot of people that are waking up. There are a lot of people coming out of different organizations that are waking up. You know, there are some pastors that know what's going on, and they're waking up. So, I mean, our job is to do what we're doing. But as far as DNA proof, if they have the cave of Machpelah, we have all the DNA proof we need. Because we are from the royal house of King Dawid. My family is from the royal house of King Dawid. And if ever there was a time that we can prove it, we have the DNA proof that we need. That's in that cave right there.
Yep. You know. See, they basing all of their argument is on the fact that they have the artifacts. You understand? That's what they're basing everything on. So, you know, if we had the artifacts, or if they, you know, we could represent ourselves or present ourselves as being Hebrew Israelites. You understand? But being that we don't have nothing, no proof, other than what it says in the scriptures. You understand? And the time period now. See, we have. The scriptures is gives us the authority to be able to say that we are the people of the Old Testament and in ancient times, and we are Abraham's seed. You understand? But these things are now coming out so that everybody can get the knowledge now. You understand? I know that they're trying to. They wish that the computer age did not come into play, because now the computer allows you to search and find out some information. You understand? Now everything that you read is not valid, but you've got to be able to discern what is valid and what is not. You understand? And a lot of times, man, with my research, I wait till I get more than one confirmation points. You understand? You understand? I look at something and I read it. You understand? And I look for something else that's relative to that to find out whether that is a possible fact or not. You understand? So, you know, we got to do some research. You understand? This should start to open up some eyes here. Hey,
yes,
man, maybe them people ain't the filth.
Yes, sir. Because you know, guess what? You know, if they had the proof that the patriarchs were white, it would be pasted all over CNN, NBC, ABC, Reuters. Everybody would have it pasted, and they'd be selling tickets. So the fact that this is supposed to be such a sanctuary that they don't want to interrupt, crap. That ain't nothing but some crap. They don't want to. Look, let me say this. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to try to say this with some calmness. I have watched down through the years where we have promoted different people. We have put different people on pedestals. We have elevated pastors and bishops. We have elevated movie stars and rap singers. We have elevated actors and actresses, and we've actually created and made them into this specialty or this special group of people that everybody admires. We dress like them, we act like them, we talk like them, we try to look like them, and all of this is a program mentality that they have given us down through the years. We are a government that has a monarchy. Let me say that again. For all of you all that are listening, our government for our nation that is in captivity is a monarchy. And our monarchy is in captivity with the people. We are here with the people. We have someone that pushed one. Let me get them on the air. Area code 513, go ahead. You're on the air. Area code 513, you're on the air.
I didn't mean to hit the button.
513-2. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to hit the button, but I do have a question.
Oh, okay.
I just came in on the tail end of it, and I hear you talking a lot about DNA. With them being in charge of the DNA, how do you know that it will be authentic if we do reach that level?
You won't. And I'm glad you asked that question because I had a young lady from Brooklyn, New York, ask me. She says, Jaina, by you being from the royal house of King Dawid, would you submit to a DNA test? And I told her no. And she says, well, how are the people going to believe you if it's not authenticated? I said, because how can you trust the liar to tell the truth? How will you be able to trust the liar to tell the truth? They're not going to tell the truth. If anything, they'll say we are the children of one of David's concubines.
Okay.
And we know our lineage and who we came through. And we know King David had several wives and some concubines or whatever, but they'll be able to say that we're part of the concubines. So now that we know that we have those bodies in that cave, supposedly, then we have a valid stance. You know, if we're going to do it, then let's do it with those particular bodies. Because if Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob, and I mean Isaac and Rebecca and Jacob and Leah are all there, we have everything we need.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Now, whether or not they tell the truth, they've been lying for so long. I don't believe they will.
I know for a fact they ain't going to tell the truth. They ain't been telling the truth yet. We can catch them in a lie anytime. So I know they ain't going
to. They're purposely put in that position to have us in the position that we're in right now, the position where we have to prove who we are. We have to prove who we are before we can go back into our own land. The Most High put them in that position on purpose because of the things that we did.
That is correct. Yep. We should be jealous enough to do something about our condition.
Absolutely.
We should be. You understand? We got them people that are no people that came out of the caves. Neanderthals is what they used to be, what they were called. Understand? And they were a no people, void of understanding, and all of a sudden, so it has to be the Almighty to orchestrate all of this, so He can get the glory from every living creature. That's the major thing. You understand? You know. and one thing that I'm trying not to do. Hello.
Go ahead, bro.
One thing that I'm trying not to do is get upset or over what they gonna do or what they do. You know, they don't stand a chance against the Almighty, and he is our God. He was gonna protect us. So, you know, ain't no sense in me frustrating myself and getting all upset about what they think and what they do. They was only here for a time period. You understand? And this position is our punishment. You understand? Because we have to, when we get back, when the Almighty allows us to get back into the land, you understand, which is going to be pretty soon now, you understand, we have to remember what we did to get us out of the land. And we got to remember all of those chains, whips, beatings, maimed, and murdered, our forefathers, our mothers, our brothers and sisters being shot down. We got to remember all of that. So it don't happen to us no more. The Almighty said there will be no unrighteousness in that land. No unrighteousness. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Holly, you have any other questions?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Okay. And the thing about it is, I think the beautiful part about this is that people are beginning to think about it. I mean, people are beginning to question. People are beginning to think, and we are moving very closely toward our exodus out of here, and we know that the exodus is going to be a major event from one extent and an organized event from another perspective. So our job is to make sure that we put forth every effort to get the people aware of where we are and what's going on, because we're talking about reestablishing a monarchy. And everybody plays it down like it has no significance at all whatsoever, when the Most High is reestablishing the monarchy. And not so much the throne where any one person will be sitting on the throne, but the authority through the scriptures to be able to reestablish the nation of Yehuda.
That is correct.
And I know that it's very difficult for a lot of people to accept it, you know, and it's powerful that it's happening in this time. And we're doing everything in our power to make sure that this happens, because we've got to start gathering together as a nation. We've got to start coming together as a people. And it's extremely important that we do this. Extremely. So when I found out about the cave, I was really, really excited, if it's true, you know, and it was an aha moment. I don't know what that background noise is, but I might have to mute your phone, Brother Donnie. I was really excited, and I was really happy about it, but we've got to really start paying attention, because the Most High is moving in the earth.
That is correct.
Moving in the earth.
You're absolutely right. That is absolutely correct. You understand? We can see the Almighty by, if you take a look at that news, and they show you where there's an earthquake here, fires over, you know, they got a storm somewhere, man, that's in Nebraska somewhere. You understand? And it's been raining for the last couple of on and off. For the last couple of weeks, you understand, they're in a flood zone. You understand, there can't be nothing done about it until the waters recede, and people are shipping in water and everything. Oh man, it's a mess, man. You understand, but this is the Almighty moving in the earth. You understand, there was an earthquake in California just here recently. You understand, 5 point something, you understand, earthquake. Oh, man, I'm talking about the Almighty is moving in the earth. I'm telling you, you understand?
Absolutely.
You know, and see, these are the things that the Almighty is doing. We ain't got to do that. All we got to do is gather ourselves.
That's all he told us to do. That's all he told us to do, is to gather ourselves. And the beautiful part about it is, and let me say this to those who are listening, is that we were talking today about the church. And one thing that we can say about the church is that it is the church's time. The Most High is giving our people that are scattered in different religions and beliefs, he's getting ready to cut the light bulb on and open up your eyes. And a lot of people will say, well, we don't need our eyes open. We know Christ. We know this. We know that. But the one thing that I thought about today, and I'm always thinking about it because, you know, according to teaching, and let me give you guys a little heads up on some information. According to teaching, the Illuminati or the Masons or different groups, they work off of symbolism. And one of the symbolisms for their group is the black and white checkered floor. Whenever you see a movie, pay very close attention because they have the black and white checkered floor in most of their movies. Well, the black and white checkered floor is supposed to represent the symbolism between good and evil. Of course, black is supposed to be bad and white is supposed to be good. Well, even with the outfits that the preachers wear, they wear the black cloak with the white tab going through it because it's supposed to symbolize the parallel between good and evil, the black and the white. So the other day I was sitting there like saying, okay, well, then there has to be a good and an evil in the earth. Where is the good? And as I began to look at the church, I said, well, this is where the people go when they want to find God. They go to the church. Mm-hmm. And knowing what we know now, you know, that most of the people in the church carry the Bible and they live by the Bible, that the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is the God of the Hebrews. The scripture clearly says that he is the God of the Hebrews and none else. So I started thinking, I said, if there's no good, then the only good that's in the earth is the elect whose eyes have been opened, that is keeping the light into the world. Because if you look at the parallel of the church, for instance, let me say this: Christ, and Brother Donnie, I know you don't believe in the New Testament, so this is just, you know, me talking right now. Christ.
Oh, go ahead.
So we believe in Jesus Christ, and you say, okay, and he came to bring grace, okay. And he was given, we're living under grace and we're no longer under the law, okay? But Christ clearly stated that when he came, he only did that which is of his Father. So he never would do anything to cross the Father. He would never do anything to go against the Father. But we have an entity, a whole entity built up against not keeping the law.
Okay.
And then when you plug in the scripture that says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, that sin is a transgression of the law, when you plug that in, that definition into the scriptures, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Let's plug that in. Shall we continue transgressing the law that grace may abound? God forbid. So when I went to look, I said, well, they created a whole entity around this Jesus Christ that completely goes against God the Father.
Mm-mm-mm.
So I'm thinking about all this, and I'm like, well, where is the good? Because wherever there's good, evil, there has to be good. And the Most High let me know that good is in the knowledge of understanding all of this. So I say that to those that are listening under the sound of my voice, that the Most High is getting ready to extend the grace of understanding where we're coming from to the church so that they understand, because these are our people that have been taken into these institutions and made to believe they were Gentile. And if you believe that you are a Gentile, then the whole story changes for you. We've got to take this knowledge into them to let them know you are a part of the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, how does that change the story? It changes it dramatically. Because, for instance, for one, the whole premise and the prophecy in Ezekiel 39, which they say has already taken place, the Jews have already gone back to the land. That's not true. The prophecy that they're basing the end time events on is according to the fact that those people that are in the land now are the people. So if that's not the case, and they're not the people, then we've got to rewind the tape and we've got to go through the prophecies one by one. As we are taken back to the land, then certain things have to take place. And we're not there yet.
Okay.
We're not there yet.
Not at
all. So this is where we have to get in and let the people know who they are.
Yeah, one thing for sure is that there's a process that the Almighty, he's got a timeline. You understand? He's setting things up and putting things in place. You understand? And at the end of his timeline, everything will be revealed to his to the people that he wants to reveal them to, because he has that power. He can reveal them to whomsoever. You understand? And with the things that are going on, I don't think it's going to be that other nation.
I don't think so either.
I mean, they've done so much wickedness and evil, and there's no way that the Almighty is going to make them to continuously look. If their whole life premise is to destroy the earth, the earth that the Almighty had put in place. That is their life ambition. They fighting for king of the land. In our case, is king of the universe. That's what they're fighting for.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They will. Look here. One thing that I bring this up often. They got artificial grass.
Yes. Everything's artificial. They have artificial everything. They have artificial everything. You can buy anything you want nowadays, artificial everything. But the beautiful part about it all is that there's an end to it all, and we're coming into the knowledge of who we are, and the expectation of that is great. And if they had the grave of Machpelah, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I mean, that's powerful right there. I mean, that is powerful, and they have kept it hush, hush, hush.
Yeah, things are being revealed. Yeah, things are being revealed. They're coming out.
Hold on, let me.
These things that we need to know, you understand, that to help us find out who we are. You understand, is vastly upon us. It's coming out from week to week. We can know that, and we can see that the Almighty is moving in this earth. You understand? Because it ain't just these few little organizations and congregations and communities of Hebrew Israelites. There's a bunch of folks that's being eyes are being open.
Yes,
you understand?
Yes, you know.
And once they start getting open, becoming open, righteousness is going to reign from the four corners of the earth.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yeah. You know.
Hallelujah.
And so it's the timeline. You understand? And how the Creator of all things. You understand? Got it straightened out. If you really take a look at it, you understand, you can see the Almighty moving in the earth. He only gave us one job. Mm-hmm. But look what he's got to do. He's got
Yeah.
I mean, and from our eyesight, it looked like a lot, but I'm sure that he can handle it. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay,
stuff that he got to do. Whew. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, all of these nations that, all of these fornicators, you understand, he pitted. You know what's so ironic is that I read I think that was one of the classes that we had, you understand, and it talked about the Almighty and his archangels. One of them was Michael, one of them was Gabriel, and he had three other ones, or two other ones, you understand? But anyway, he gave Gabriel the charge to pit one nation against the other, one fornicated nation against the other fornicated nation, so that they could destroy one another. And if we look, we can see that happening right now.
We have, that's right, Brother Donnie. We got a caller. Hold on, area code 513. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yes, I was listening, and I heard you talk about that, you know, the church needs to be educated. Well, I had a conversation with a few members that are in Christianity, and to be honest with you, the church is scared of the Hebrew Israelites because they think it is a cult. And I say that because of past experiences that some, I guess, Hebrew Israelites that they ran into have been either nasty or telling them they're going to go to hell. Or so there's this Christianity about Hebrew Israelites and what you really present, because thus far the representation hasn't been, and, you know, I don't want to be offensive, but authentic to the point, or not believable enough, that people are just leery these days. Now, in talking to them, they want to learn and they want to know, because I ask them some questions. Well, who do you think you are, and where do you really think you come from? And the answer was, we really don't know, but mm-hmm. we're willing to learn, but we are leery because of past experiences and what we have seen and what we have heard. So my question to you all, how are you presenting the Hebrew Israelites to the present-day Christians, where they don't get offended because they really want to learn? They just have some serious trust issues because they've been so abused by the church and so abused by other things. They're just really, really leery, but they are willing to learn.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Brother Donnie. Let me answer her real quick, and then I'm gonna let you take it. We have something through the Nation of Yehuda called the School of Knowledge. And it is a virtual school that they can sign up for, and it's on Wednesday night. Well, we have one on Wednesday nights for the advanced class, but we have a newcomers class that's every Thursday night at 7 o'clock. If they're interested in learning, and this is where we actually go through the scriptures, people ask questions, you know, where they don't have to be offended. They can ask any question that they want if they're really interested in learning. They can email us at theyehudaproject@gmail.com, and we will have the director of the School of Knowledge from the Nation of Yehuda contact them, because that is one of the reasons why we have been so diligent about putting the Nation of Yehuda together, because we do understand the conflict. We do understand the image that they portray on the street corners, and it is a turnoff to some people. Even if you go to YouTube and try to learn on your own, some of it is just downright derogatory. We do understand that. And the Nation of Yehuda is not that organization. We are intelligent individuals, spiritual individuals, and Hebrew Israelite individuals from all walks of life. Our goal is to make sure that we do not offend, and our goal is to make sure that we do not present ourselves as a cult, because we are not. And I think that the people that are out there that are making us appear to be that way are the people that are not of us, you know, because there are some that are with us but are not of us, and their main purpose is to sabotage our mission. So what do? They go out, and each one of them starts to spew rhetoric, and one will start saying hateful things about black women, and then they'll start saying hateful things about the other nations. Well, you're going to go to hell. Well, the Most High going to do this to you or do that to you. And the Most High told us that our goal is to gather together as a nation. Now, what we would like to see eventually, because we have people from all over the country that are coming in from Christianity that are involved in our classes, and what we would like to do would be to be invited to their cities and then have people actually come. Now, whether or not we'll be invited into the church, I don't know. But I know that we would like to come to the cities and actually present this in a way that people can understand and actually want to live it. So, I mean, that is what we do. Like I said, the School of Knowledge from the Nation of Yehuda. You can email us at theyehudaproject@gmail.com. Yehuda spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H. Brother Donia, and then area code 443, I'll be right there with you.
Okay, I just wanted to say is that I agree with everything that you said, and if I may add, is that it's not going to be an overnight experience. You understand? This is going to take some time. You understand? Because, but it's not going to take as much time as we thought it was. If you have the wherewithal to want to understand. If you want to understand this, the knowledge will be there presented for you. And I'll stop with that.
All right. Area code 443, go ahead, you're on the air.
Hey, shalom, shalom, family. This is Yehoshua.
Shalom, Yehoshua. How are you?
Yeah, I'm excellent. Thank you. I wanted to, address the issue about the cults, because that's something that we often hear. The first thing I would like to share with the sister is cult is often used to, in Christianity in particular, to label anything that challenges the idealism of Christianity. I know this from as a fact. They have a book called The Kingdom of Cults. I cannot remember the name of the author. But one has to first, because in Christianity, because I came from Christianity, as you all very well know, I was a pastor in Christianity. Christianity has a way of labeling and instilling fear because, for the most part, many Christians don't study or research themselves. So they take at face value whatever the minister says. Whatever the minister says that is not agreeable to him or her, that becomes truth. Unfortunately, within our nation, the Israelite nation, there are cults. Let me be clear. There are cults in Israel. Because what it is when people say Israel, a lot of people want to come to the conclusion that we're another religion. You hear it often when you hear people say, I became an Israelite in 1992. How do you become what you are? Have you ever heard of a Chinese man said, I became a Chinese man? Let's say he grew up in the Sudan. He didn't know that he was Chinese, but he discovered his true heritage. Does he say, I became a Chinese? When he's awakened to the fact that that's who he is. We have to begin, as Israelites, we have to begin to change our thinking and our assessment of who we are and what we're not. Within the Israelite sect, you have Israelites that are basically still Christians, and they present this extremist craziness that we often see that misrepresents us. Quickly, the definition of a cult is a religion or religious sect generally considered to be extremist or false, with its followers often live in an unconventional manner under the guidance of an authoritarian charismatic leader. It's also a sect. It's also something that's centered around a man or a woman or a great personality, and it's started by a man or a woman. Now, let's be clear, too. Every Christian denomination, except for the Seventh-day Adventists, which was started by a woman by the name of Ellen White, was founded by a man or a woman. Like I said, Ellen White of the Seventh-day Adventists. So one has to really look at what is a cult and what isn't a cult, because all we've done is discovered who we are, our identity that was lost throughout history. We're reclaiming our way of life and our culture, our language, our history, our belief system. Some people always ask, what is your religion? I say, I don't have a religion. We have a way of life that's guided by Torah. We're not Jews. Jews are Europeans that have taken on a religion called Judaism. Any conscious, intelligent Israelite knows we don't have a religion, nor do we practice a religion. We live our way of life. And I just wanted to be clear about that and state emphatically that within our nation, there are cults. People that don't have a mind of their own, they're controlled, etc. People can stir around it all day long. That's why we have these misrepresentations. But that's what it is. And we have to know that the wheat and the tare have to be separated. We have to come out from among them and separate ourselves from these people that are taking Yah's name in vain and misrepresenting who we are and what he is. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Caller, do you have any other questions? Because I have everyone's mic open if you want to ask any more, because I think that, yes. If I'm not mistaken, you are a pastor of Christianity of Court too?
Yes, I am. I know okay. who I am, but I have not yet been called out. But my question is, how will that truth be told to the church if they are still in that old mindset and that old thinking? As time gets closer, people are really looking and searching and in need, but there's still that fear.
Well, if I may, one of the things, you said you're a pastor, correct?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. I was faced with that decision back in 1999 at a congregation, and we were Christians. We moved from Sunday worship. We started doing Sabbath, changed our diet, all that. But then the conviction came. Actually, this was just when we came to our identity. I had to make a choice. Either I'm going to follow Yah or follow conventionalism. I had to make that choice myself. Not my family either. I had to make that choice. When I made that choice to acknowledge the Shabbat, to acknowledge who we were and who we weren't, I lost 75% of my members.
Mm-hmm.
But if you'd have to have that courage to either say, it's in Yah I live and move and have my being, or I'm going to follow the system. All my colleagues, because I was trained amongst those that you know, the names, the so-called name people. I was amongst those guys. I got phone calls all during the middle of the night, letters, emails. My birth name was Stephen. They said, oh, he's gone crazy. This and that. I've had pastors call me in the middle of the night telling me, listen, where you're going is dangerous. I said, well, if I'm wrong, show me in Scripture. We can't do that. I've had others say that I'm correct, but it's not necessary. How is the truth not necessary? But what I found out, it was their comfort zone that was being disrupted, because then they made themselves in such a place as deity amongst the people that they could not acknowledge law. I had to go to the congregation and say, listen, we have to learn all over again. I don't want you to believe what I say. Confirm it. Get the onus off you.
Right.
Let them confirm it. Make them students of the word, because they'll appreciate you. But most importantly, what does Yah say about you? Because remember, the scripture says over and over again, it's the leaders that cause the people to err.
Right. That's true.
And we got to understand that the accountability, because of what we're feeding, is more going to be on us than anybody else, because we're giving them that word, or we're not giving them that word, especially those that are Israel that don't know. I don't want that blood on my hand. Say
Raj. Hallelujah. All right, let me leave the mic open. Everybody's mic is going to stay open. Area code 301, we're going to open your mic. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Yeah, you guys made a comment about separation. How exactly do you see that being fulfilled and playing out today?
In what regard? I want to make sure that I'm clear.
I believe Pastor Stephen made that comment, and there was some comments that may have or may have not followed regarding that comment that he made. I just wanted to see your take on this separation that he speaks of.
Are you talking about from the wheat and the tare?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
I said, are you speaking about the wheat and the tare, the conversation that he said about we have to separate ourselves from the wheat and the tare?
The wheat and the tare.
Hold on one moment. I'm getting ready to get him back on. Hold on one moment. Brother Yehoshua, the brother has a question. Could you ask the question again?
Sure.
Well, even still, whether he comes back on the line or those that are the leaders today, because you also made a comment that the leaders are causing the people to err. So
okay.
I know this line goes out weekly, sometimes twice a week, but anyways, the two principal ones that lead this line, I'd like to hear your take on it as well. What is your stance or understanding as far as this separation, or do you even promote any such understanding.
When you say separation, when you say separation, what are you talking about separation? You mean between Christianity and being a Hebrew Israelite? Are you talking about like that?
No. I'm saying as a Hebrew Israelite and dealing in the land of your captivity, do you or do you not promote any such understanding towards separation?
What we know here is by the scripture saying that the Almighty said that we were going to go back to the land going with milk and honey. Those are the people that understand themselves people of the scripture, because that's what the scripture says. And so it's not necessarily going to be a split, you understand? It's only going to be a remnant of folks go back into the land, because the Almighty said that there was going to be, though we may be as many as the sands of the sea, only a remnant shall return. You understand? Many are called, but few are chosen. So we talking about those that understand themselves to be Hebrew Israelites, not Jewish, if that's what you mean.
I think the brother hung up, or he got disconnected, or he dropped off. We'll wait till he calls back in. I'm not sure what happened. But let me get area code 312. Area code 312, go ahead. You're on the air.
I'm basically was talking from what she was saying about the church and the things that you deal with trying to teach, especially African-American Christians, to the things of the Hebrew Israelite teaching or whatever you want to call it. But I think the major issue that you're going to run into any time is the same thing that you were dealing with before you came to Christianity. You know, someone, you had an experience that brought you into Christianity. I mean, I know for me personally, you know, people were trying to teach me my entire life, but it wasn't until I had that personal experience with the Most High, but what I interpreted to be a personal experience with the Most High, that brought me into Christianity and started me on a path of exploration. Now, as far as trying to teach blacks this type of truth, if we're dealing with the scriptures and if we're dealing with prophecy and if we're dealing with Israel and the destiny of the people of Israel, we have to keep in mind that what is needed in Israel is not a teaching. It is more in the lines of a resurrection. We're talking about a reawakening of something that you already possess, something that's already inside them. So when we're dealing with each other and it said, well, what can be done to help them out? Of course, you make, in my opinion, you make the resources as available as you possibly can. Anyone who says they want to learn about something has the resources today to go out and learn about that thing, because of the technology and the different things that we have. As far as Israel as a nation, I believe that our first call is to turn inward rather than outward now, because that's who we've always been. Like, the Most High has been trying to get our attention, and we've been trying to get everybody else's attention, when in fact we should probably at this point, considering everything that's happened to us, turn towards the Most High and just begin to focus on building ourselves, building our families, building our neighborhoods on this truth. Regular people, the people who the Most High sends, the sheep that hear the voice of the shepherd, whatever you want to call them, but the people who have a mind to serve the Most High and to return to their roots, focus on building a nation out of those people and allow those other people to see what makes us different as a people. Yeah, you're going to always deal with cults, but we can, like my brother said, we can deal with Christianity, and you can, the Ku Klux Klan claims to be a Christian organization. Al-Qaeda claims to be a Muslim organization. You always have those elements. There's always been elements in Israel of people who felt a little more strongly, a little more aggressively about pushing the truth of Yah. But the problem that we have as a people right now is that our ancestors were able to build a nation in the desert with a lot less resources than we have right now. And we have a problem building a nation in ghettos and in suburban America and in regular everyday Egypt. So the focus, I think, should be like those who know the truth, those who want the truth, those who are in the truth, form something that looks like truth. Because when those people do turn, you're gonna have to have a nation to look at that's unified, a nation that's following the ways of y'all, a nation that's built the culture of Israel rather than acting like the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts trying to recruit people. We don't need to do that.
Hello?
Shalom, shalom. Let me chime in on that. Are you through?
Oh, yeah, hold on, Brother Donnie. Let me say something real quick. The young man from area code 301, you got cut off. If you push one, we'll get you back in the conversation because I don't think that anyone was really clear, and we would love to be able to be clear before we, you know, end or whatever. Area code 301, I see you on the board. If you'd like to push one, I'll open up your mic for you. Go ahead, Brother Adonia, and I'm going to open up your mic as soon as he's done. Go ahead, Brother Adonia.
Okay, see, here's the thing. What you said, I didn't get the brother's name that was just talking, but what you said is absolutely correct. You understand? Now, as far as if you want to, the Almighty will give the first thing that we have to want to know. If we want to know something, it'll be available for us. That's why the United Nation of the Nation of Yehuda has got this class. You understand? See, that's what happened with me when I first became a Hebrew Israelite 35 years ago. I wasn't happy with what was going on in my life, and then the Almighty put me with some brothers that was in the Nation of Yehuda. They call themselves Hebrew Israelites, and I started learning, and I've been there ever since. But the first thing that I had to do is the Almighty had to put the Spirit on me to want to understand and to want to know. You understand? I wasn't happy with what I was doing. I can't say that I was a Christian because that didn't happen. I started out, you understand, in the streets hustling. You understand? But it was not. I was not satisfied at the end of matters, you understand, with what I was doing. And I wanted to find out a little bit more about what my life had in store for me. And so when the Israelites brought this understanding to me, you understand, I've been here ever since, you understand? So this is just a matter of the Almighty giving you the Spirit. That's the first point. That's the first part of everything. Wanting to know, wanting to get involved, you understand? Now that I'm involved with the Nation of Yehuda, we setting up little agencies, you understand, within the agencies to build a nation, you understand, to build a government structure. You understand? They got a school of knowledge, you understand, and they got other little agencies that need to be in place. After that, when we get out the Almighty is moving in the earth. You understand? The time is short. There's not no whole lot of time that we got to do this here. You understand? And it's only going to be a remnant of folks. In as much as we like our brothers and sisters and our uncles and aunts to be a part of this, they not. Some people are just not going to get it. I got it. Hallelujah.
All right, we're going to open up the mic for area code 301. Hold on, Joshua, let me get this brother on. I'm going to open up his mic, and then you can go ahead, and then he can go ahead after you. All right, I'm open. Area code 301, your mic is open. Joshua, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You said for me to go ahead?
Joshua, you can go ahead. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
In response to the brother, because that was a great question. One of the things that we have to be clear about, we have to remove any resemblance of religion from us. We have to remove any resemblance of religion. We're not a religion. We're a way of life. And like you said, if there's people that are willing to work and learn, let's move with that. But what tends to happen, because most of us have come from Christianity, we're looking for something to replace that feeling. We're looking for a substitute teacher, you know, to replace Christianity. So what we do is we will make a Hebraic version of Christianity, which is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Law says I'm set apart, therefore you be set apart, which means different. Holy means different. It's not by how long your skirt is, but it's by how long your devotion to him is in your way of life. Like the brother said, and like what we're trying to represent here, our way of life in action will be demonstration enough to tell people what is truth. But what tends to happen in Hebrews and like all over the world, we create another religion, which ends up turning into a cult. If we understood that, number one, we are a communal people. That's what love your neighbor as yourself is talking about. It's not talking about love the white man or the Chinese man. My neighbor should be my other brothers and sisters in the nation.
That is correct.
But if we got to work towards that, because one of the things to trick us was to polarize us and scatter us all over the place because we won't be effective. But when we're together, we'll be functional. Everybody cannot be a preacher. Everybody is not a Levite. It was 12 tribes. Every tribe had a purpose and a function. Everybody in the U.S. government is not a lawyer. But yet everybody in Israel wants to be some kind of a scriptural scholar and leaving no room for no other kind of work. But we got to function as a nation, not a religion. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want to say one thing.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I didn't know what the whole question was about the like the whole separation thing. I didn't know if it was any, a question of, you know, did you adhere to the idea about separating from everyone else, or religiously separating, or culturally, or what? But the thing about separation, it always comes to my mind is, like, regardless of whether we like it or not, we as a people are already separated. We didn't do that. That was done to us. So when you feed into this idea that whenever a Hebrew begins speaking about separation and doing things like that, that we somehow are removing ourselves from the cultural foundation of America or other entities, that's not the case. What we are usually saying, if this is what, you know, the guy was speaking about, is a rebranding of who we are as a people, because as a people we need to be rebranded in the minds of the nations, in the minds of our children, in the minds of our children's children. We need to be rebranded, because when they separated us, they stamped a brand on us that was less than human. It, as the scripture says, it was the equivalent of stars falling from the heavens to the earth and being trampled upon. That's been the separation. That's been the idiom we've been carrying around with us to this point. So all that we're saying as Hebrews is not that we remove ourselves from the people, because we'll always have to brew with the rest of the people on the planet or in whatever capacity, but to stop, to look at your condition, to look at your people, and to honestly say, you know, we are being misrepresented in the media. We are being misrepresented in music and entertainment.
Yeah.
We are being misrepresented in every possible way that you can think of. So for a Hebrew to stand up and say, wait a minute, those ancestors that was running around in that desert all those thousands of years ago that have inspired the entire world, practically every facet of the known world, those were our people. So it's time for a rebranding. It's time for us. It's time for you to see us the way he sees us, the way we were created to be now. So separation is not a bad thing, but it needs to be done in a way where it's in moderation, where it's being overseen. But it's definitely not a negative thing.
Hallelujah.
All right. Well, you know what? Let me say something, Brother Donnie. I have the brother area code 301 on the line. And he was the one that brought this up. So let's get some clarity, because I don't think anyone was really clear. Area code 301, go ahead. You're on the air.
What I was saying was I wasn't talking about metaphorically. I wasn't talking about symbology, as Brother Stephen took the conversation. What I'm speaking of is, do you guys speak of or promote or even talk about any type of separation at this point as being Hebrews, not no Jew man, not no China man, not no India man, as a Hebrew Israelite, those that are descendants of those that were once enslaved in the places that we were scattered. Not even just those that were once enslaved, but we know we're not just here in America, we're in Africa too. But I'm speaking more so those that are here in this diaspora. Do you speak do you teach, do you promote as leaders? Because you guys also made a comment. You said that the leaders cause the people to err. So what I'm saying is, what is the understanding that the leaders today, I'm speaking of those who hold this line on a weekly basis, as well as those who come on this line and speak, you know, and voice their opinions or their understanding. What is the understanding towards separation as somebody who would be following you?
We believe in nation building. From my perspective, and I am one of the ones that host this show every week, and we make sure that this show is on every week, our separation is in nation building, because we were told in Scripture to gather ourselves together, O nation not desired. So we are building a nation, which means we are separate from the people that we are, that we live in this society in, and the society that we've been put in, because the way that this society is being formed and formulated with the laws that they're passing, just like we talked about on Tuesday, the laws that they are passing, we have no choice but to separate ourselves, because it's, the laws that they pass are contradictory to the laws of Yah. So, yes, we do believe in separating in forms of nation building. Absolutely. Brother Adonia, you want to comment on, you want to come in on the brother?
Okay. What you said. Oh, I won't be kidding with you. I'm just kidding. See, we're about building a nation. And see, like I had mentioned earlier, it's only going to be a remnant. Because a lot of us going to have all these skepticisms, ifs, ands, and buts, and maybes. You understand? Not going to see. The Spirit of the Almighty has not reached them as of yet. See, the Spirit of the Almighty will make you say to yourself, something's wrong here. Let me get some wisdom. Let me find out from somebody else who has a better perspective on this life than I do. And so the nation of Yehuda has put together a package to try to bring this all in perspective. You understand? We got a school of knowledge. You understand? We got other little facets in this agency, you know, in bringing the nation together. You understand? That could help bring some clarity. You understand? And how we progress is how the peoples will see the change, that they're not people out there in the street screaming and hollering and cussing people out. You understand? The change will be so that people will want to be will want to follow or to want to be a part of something, because this place is getting ready to come down. So the change would be in you to make the difference in your own self. You understand? A lot of us, you understand, doing so well, we ain't gonna see no change. We ain't gonna want no change. But unfortunately, you understand, as time goes on, you understand, they're going to be brought to their, this understanding is going to become more clearer. And right now, you understand, you're not going to see it because everything is good. Or they feel like everything is good.
And another thing is, we have to understand that we are the descendants of the transatlantic slave trade, you know, and that our ancestors was brought to this country. I don't care how beautiful the sun is shining, and I don't care how much money you make on your job, what you've acquired in your life, we were brought here as slaves. Yes, Abraham Lincoln freed us to participate in commerce. Yes, he did. But as far as we're concerned, we are still those descendants. We came as a nation. We will leave as a nation, according to Ezekiel chapter 39. So when you understand, when the knowledge comes to you as to who we are, And how important we are to the whole world, to every prophecy that's born out in Christianity, to every leader of the free world, and every leader across the world, we are the most important people of the world. Because the moment that he ignites and he cuts the switch on for us to make this exit, it's going to be a chain of events that are going to take place. So our goal is separating ourselves. Absolutely, we are building a nation. Our mandate was to build a nation, and most of our people are in religion. And the Most High is the only one that's going to be able to open up their eyes so that they will be able to understand what time it is. And he's getting ready to do that. So as the brother said, we are formulating an entity, the Nation of Yehuda, so that they can come into something that has a solid foundation. And we are not a cult. We don't promote any specific anything. You come as you are, and as the Most High begins to open up your understanding, you will be able to have that understanding. And I always say this. It is going to be as simple as putting the blood over the doorpost. When that command went out to our people before they left Egypt, some people didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the men told their wives, we're not killing that animal. Are you crazy? We're going to eat that animal in the morning. Moses is crazy. We ain't killing that animal. But because of their disobedience, somebody died in their household. It still didn't mean they didn't leave in the morning. Those people got up and left because if there was ever indicator that, this thing was real, that was it. But they got up and left and took their families minus one or minus two to let them know this is real. So it's going to be up to the individual. That's why we don't argue about belief. Because it's up to you to make to believe what you believe and to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. All we're doing is being obedient and putting this nation together so we can move forward for the time of the Exodus. And that means separation. Everybody's not coming.
Just to ask a quick question, because I'm still not clear on what the question is as far as what separation. I just don't know what he's asking, and I'm trying to get an answer out of what you guys are saying, but I guess I would wonder, the point of the question, so that you guys can maybe answer the question a little more accurately, because I'm just not understanding what the whole question, do you feel as if we need to separate? Well, what are you saying? Are you saying physically separate, and separate from who? I'm not understanding what that question is.
He's still on here. Area code 301. Don't know what happened to him. Maybe his phone is on mute. We have a work to do. And again, a lot of this stuff.
The brother's back.
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you hear my?
They didn't understand the question. The question was what he posed. I was asking what was the clarity as far as this separation that he was bringing to the table. I think he made a comment something about wheat and hares. That's the New Testament. But anyways, it's still conveying a point of separation. In the scriptures, it would say something like wheat and chaff, separating the wheat from the chaff,
right.
But in the New Testament, it was speaking of wheat and the hares, those that will follow Christ and those that will go wherever. What I was talking about was, what is the understanding as far as separation today? Because there are many points in Scripture that speak towards separation. The Father created the earth through separation. He came to Abraham through separation. He brought us over here through our iniquities and separated us from the land. So what I'm saying is, as far as us being in this land and mingling amongst those who are our oppressors, there are other scriptures that come to mind where the Father says, I will begin to undo all those that oppress thee. How do you all see that? How are you promoting that? How are you teaching that? What words, what understanding are you bringing forth towards that? That's all I was saying.
Okay, area code 312.
Honestly, I don't think this is like King Shlomo said, or if that's how you pronounce it, whatever. I don't think this is anything new that's taking place under the sun. So it's like you said, sometimes the simplicity of it is as simple as putting blood over the doorpost. We've seen this before. We might not have seen it to this magnitude, but Israel's been through this before. The blueprint has already been written. We saw it with Egypt. We saw it with Babylon. We saw it with Assyria. We saw it time and time again, and it's been documented for us. We're not facing something so different from what they were facing that we can't figure this out. We just have to go back to the book. We have to look at what was Israel doing when she was in her captivity. What was she commanded to do? What did King Shlomo say to her when you are in captivity? The simple things that sometimes we just read over as being maybe the lyrics to a song or something that some traditional thing that they might have just said to one another, which could have been key things to help us towards our own deliverance. When he told them, start looking towards you, when you find yourself in captivity in other lands and you've been completely removed, look towards Jerusalem. Bring Jerusalem back to mind. Remember the throne of King David. Remember your people. Because as much as you talked about separation, it talked about remembrance. And what we've done is forgotten. We've forgotten our identity. We've forgotten our culture. We've forgotten to the point where we now have to begin to consider ideas like separation, because we know that like you said, being in the land of our oppressors, we're not being taught the truth. We're not being told the truth of who we are. So when you talk about separation, what does it look like in this land? Let's go back and revisit the book. What did it always look like? You had children of Israel who began to wash their robes in exile. You had children of Israel who began to go vegan because they understood the holiness and the sacredness of the body in conjunction with hearing from the Most High, and they knew that they needed a word from the Most High because of the situation that we were in. But we're not willing to do those simple things. We think we got to get political. We think we got to do our revolutionary stuff, when sometimes it's as simple as, rather than looking outward, turn your attention inward. Turn your attention towards Jerusalem. Turn your mind towards the Most High. And we have the power as a people, if the book is telling us the truth, to draw the Most High out of heaven itself. That's enough change for anybody. That's enough of a sign for anybody. If one group of people can look towards the same direction with the same spirit, with the same anointing, and can call the God of the creator of the heavens and earth out of heaven, that's enough. But we're looking over the simple things because for us now, everything has to be complex because our situation is so complex.
Hallelujah. And let me make a statement to all of those that are in the chat room. We're about to go into a few minutes of overtime, so if you want to be a part of this, please call in now. The phone number is 718-664-9551. And I want to clear up something, too, because I think that everybody needs to know that the building of the nation of Yehuda is both New Testament, Old Testament. We're all doing this together. We're rolling up our sleeves building the nation. And as it relates to the wheat and the tare, the wheat and the tare had nothing to do with whether or not you follow Christ. It was talking about a DNA. The tares were the surface seeds, and a lot of times people don't understand that that's actually in the earth. They are actually among us, and they are doing things to sabotage what we're doing. So, and that's why the school is so important, because you have to understand what is being taught in the scriptures as it relates to the people that are around you, so that you know what you're dealing with. Because everybody that says that they're Israel is not Israel, and everybody that claims to be us is not us. So, you know, these are the things that we bring to the knowledge of the scriptures, and we break out and we start to study and understand. But we have our mandate, our main goal is to come together, like the brother said, in unity, in prayer, and the power of prayer is enough to take us before the Most High. And if we receive his attention, that's separation enough, because there's going to be something done for the world to know that he's with us.
And just to jump in real fast, just based on my own personal opinion, what I feel the answer is the cleaning of our robes, and that's just my honest answer. Like, I think everything starts at home. Judgment begins at the house of the Most High. Everything. Like, we have to literally, like, while we're studying and looking back at the culture of who these people were, we have to look at everything from how these people ate, how these people interacted with nature, what they gave to the ecosystem, how they balanced it out, what the Most High's original design was for man, and how he was to live at peace with the world around him. These are the things that we need, because it's bigger than Israel. Israel is a catalyst to something greater. She's a stepping stone to the world coming to a place of peace. So in order for the world to be taught by Israel, Israel has to know what she needs to teach the world. It's not just about Israel getting back to her God, because God called Abraham for a reason. You are going to be the new Seth. You are going to be the new person who gains access to the tree of life and the paradise of the Elohim. This is what our purpose was. But if all we're looking to do is get back to our God, how different are we from anyone else? We're just looking back to get to our homeland. How different are we from anybody else? Now, if we're people who learn that the ultimate goal and the destiny of this people is to become the sons of God, to become the people who can look into heaven and actually reach heaven, then that changes the whole perspective. But if the teaching is that we're just a bunch of exiles who were screwed over, and now we're trying to get what's ours, and we're going to raise hell until we get our land back, and once we're back in our land, then what? we repeat the mistakes of our ancestors and go through this whole thing again?
Well, that's not how I'm looking at it at all. You understand? I mean, you make some great points, but that's what the Nation of Yehuda is in place for, so that we can build a coalition with the rest of Israel. You understand? We got the School of Knowledge that's supposed to give us understanding. You understand? And then we have the entrepreneur program. You understand? Things like. Because we're not going to go back into the land, you understand, everybody be under their own understanding. There's going to have to be some rules, some regulations. That's what the Nation of Yehuda is put together, you understand, a government structure. And then there's got to be, and also in conjunction, got to be Levites putting together the moral fiber that we're going to live under. Understand all of this stuff has got to be coordinated. Understand, and don't get me wrong, I don't know everything. My stuff got holes in it, but I believe in my heart that if we work together, we can fix it. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Sure. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. The comment that I wanted to make. He made a statement regarding. We're trying to get to the land, but our goal should be to get back to the Creator. How do you think you're going to get back to the Creator if you're still mingling amongst the oppressors? How is that? There's a lot of things we took off when we left coming out of the land, when we went into Africa, when we migrated towards the hinterland, more towards the west coast of Africa, and where we got picked up or sold into slavery. Now, all of those things that we picked up, we are going to return back to that. So if you are still amongst your oppressor, you ain't even going to conquer getting the land, because the type of lifestyle you're going to return to is not the lifestyle you're living today, my brother. You're not going to
okay,
go
well,
back.
Okay, well, let me ask you. Hold on.
Let me
finish. Well, you asked me a question.
Okay, well, you got to wait till I finish, because I'm not done.
Okay, well,
write it down. If this is not a dialogue, then I'll quickly, drop the line.
Oh, no, we want you to.
All right, then. So let's respect each other, then. I let you talk. Let me talk.
Continue, bro. Go ahead. Continue. All this is unnecessary. Right. Continue.
So what I'm saying is there's a lot of things, if you want to look at it as clothes, there's a lot of clothes we took off that we got to put back on going back into the land. First of all, most people don't even know how to kindle a fire. You think you're going back to some land where there's some electrical current blowing and all you got to do is plug your appliances up and cook whatever you're going to cook? Man, most people don't even know how to cut a tree down, let alone heat themselves some water to bathe. You ain't going back to some lifestyle that you're a part of now. So like I said, this separation that you speak of, how intent or the deepness of that, can you elaborate on that? Bring out the deepness of that separation, because if you need some help, I can show you where it's at.
Okay, let me.
Okay, now can I answer his question? Can I answer his question?
Sure.
Okay. Where you are has nothing to do with your mindset. Okay, you are the product. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Where you are has little to do with your. You're the product, basically, of what has been put inside of your brain. So for you saying geographically, all you're basically saying is we need to be unified. We need to get together under the same idea, under the same concept, and we, like I said earlier, we need to rebrand ourselves based on that concept. Where me and you disagree is this. There were any situation you can find Israel in history where they were among their oppressors. It didn't matter if they were in their land. They were in their land sinning. We didn't come. We're not here because of our righteous ancestors. We're here because of the unrighteous ones. So the idea that going back into the land and putting on old clothes is going to somehow make us better is completely untrue, because that's what got us kicked out in the first place. Secondly, wherever you find Israel in the world, you were able to find a remnant of Israelites who were connected to their God because their minds were different. Your mind can be different wherever you are on this planet. So for you to say, some people don't know how to kindle a fire, they don't know how to do electricity, where do you think we're going? I mean, you think we're going to the ruins of Timbuktu? We're not some ape culture. There's plenty of Israelites all over the world that are capable of doing the things that you are saying we're incapable of doing. There's Israelites who are electricians. There's Israelites with a wealth of knowledge and resources to get done what the Most High prophesied that would be done. So that's not the question. What the question on the table is, can I be in America? Can I be among not just my oppressors, but the rest of the world? Because if your idea is that Israel has to somehow remove herself from the rest of the world in order for her to stay righteous, guess what? She can't complete the task that the Most High called for her in the first place. You better be able to dwell among some other people that are not Hebrews and still keep your righteous mind is what I'm saying. So, yes, it doesn't matter if I'm in America among whoever. If I'm a child of Yah and Yah is on my mind and I have the Torah in front of my face and I know who I am and I know who my ancestors are, there should not, it's going to be a struggle, absolutely. But it is not an impossibility for you to be Hebrew wherever you are in the world. Being in Israel don't make you Hebrew. Knowing how to build a house don't make you Hebrew. Or chopping down a tree. None of that makes you Hebrew. What makes you Hebrew is your ability to call on the name of the Most High with righteous lips and for him to respond point blank in the subject. So you promoting this whole idea, if you ain't talking separation, you know, then that's the answer. That's how we get out. That's completely not how we get out. How we get out is changing our minds, because there ain't no point in us going nowhere if we still got the same crap in our brain, period.
Shalom, this is Adonia. I'd like to just weigh in on that, and I'm not going to take long. What I want to say is, it's a process. We're in the process. And nothing is going to happen overnight. You can forget that. There's not going to be no silver bullet that's bringing us back into the understanding of the Almighty. There's not going to be no pixie dust. And if you know, so it's a process and things that has to happen first. If you look at what's going on in the earth, you can see the movement of the Almighty. You understand? First of all, I want to tell y'all that, yeah, I believe that we, see, when it comes time to do something for us, we always excuse. You understand? We got any, oh, we don't have nobody that could cut down a tree. Or this and that, no. And I'm not disputing you at all. I'm just saying that these things, you understand, we have to start our destiny in our own hands. Understand what I'm saying? We have a concept Almighty had put in place, and a lot of us believe that concept. And we working towards doing something about this here. We in big trouble here. We stick around here, you understand, doing nothing is just like telling them guys, you understand, you can do anything you want to us. So we don't have the option of doing nothing. Hallelujah.
And I want to make a comment. Brother Donnie, I'm going to mute your phone because it's got some background. Hold on. Let me see if it's good. It's not you. Okay, it's very cold. 312. Hold on, mute your phone. All right, let me say this to everybody concerned. You know, we appreciate everybody's feedback, but one thing we do not want to do at the Nation of Yehuda is we do not want to bring the wrong concept of what we're doing. We're Hebrew Israelites by blood. It is in the blood. It's not in the clothes. It's not in the ability to chop down a tree. It's not in the ability to kindle a fire. We already have a land, and there's electricity already there. People are living in the land. They plug their appliances in, and they live in the land. There's already stuff already set up so that if we go back there, when we go back there, we do not have to live in tents. So let's clear that up so that we have a clear understanding. This is a land that is already formulated. People are there living. We already have Hebrew Israelite presence in the land. But like the brother said, it doesn't matter where you take yourself. You can change locations, but if your mind doesn't change, it does not matter. We do not have to. Let me say this. When Joseph was in Egypt, and I like to use this analogy for those who believe we're supposed to wear Hebrew clothing. When Joseph was in Egypt and he was made the vice regent of Egypt, he wore Egyptian clothing. When Daniel was in Babylon and he was in the house of Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, he wore Babylonian clothes. Now, we are in America, in the land of our captivity, and we wear the clothes of our captivity. Now, are we supposed to wear clothing of the same fabric without fabric being mixed? Of course we are. Nobody's saying that we're not. But the costumes Nobody said we had to put them on. The Most High, that's not a part of the word, and we're not supposed to put on costumes. Now, my position is this. We build a nation, and we allow people to come as they are so that these people will be able to realize who they are. When you start putting stipulations on, people are saying, well, you got to wear this, or you got to do this, or you got to act like this, or you got to eat this. Because we have a dietary law that we have to follow. Now, we have some people choose not to eat meat. If you do, that's fine. If that's how you choose to go back to the garden and the diet of the garden and you don't want to eat meat, that's fine. Don't eat meat. But we have a dietary law that includes meat. So
okay.
Those people who want to eat it, that's a choice of those people to make. The thing that the problem that we have is that we are trying to do the job of the Most High Yah. All he told us to do was gather ourselves together, O nation, not desire. And those are the things that we focus on. And like he said, if your mind don't change, your behavior's not going to change. So for those who feel like it's not the right time, or we're not supposed to be able to go, or we're not supposed to do this, then guess what? This isn't for you. But for those individuals who understand that the bringing together of the nation of Yehuda, the reestablishing of the monarchy is so important to what the Most High is doing with us and how he is doing this for us, that we're moving very slowly, very cautiously, and very prayerfully. Nobody does anything without prayer. Nobody does anything without approval from the Most High, because we don't want to repeat the same things all over again. We don't want to do the same things, because like the old cliche says, when you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you always got. Our goal is to get our people together so we can go home. Everybody's not going to leave. Everybody's not going at the same time. But we're all going eventually, and we're going to make it there. And
hallelujah.
The same thing that befell us before is going to be there to befell us again if we're not careful. Because everybody seems to have the solution where the women aren't supposed to talk and only the men are supposed to do it. Where in the world did you? Deborah was a judge with a husband. Not only that, she led men into military battle. King David went to her for advice. Where are you getting all this stuff? The daughters of Zelophehad own their own land. I could just go down the list of the women in the scriptures that played a very important role. So all of this sexism stuff and all of these isms and schisms and cultist behaviors, the Most High told us to gather together as a nation, and whatever's in the scriptures we will do, and we're going to do according to the scriptures, and that's how the nation of Yehuda is going to do it. If you would like to be a part of it, if you would like to be a part of the School of Knowledge, as we said earlier, the email address is theyehudaproject@gmail.com. We will have the director of the School of Knowledge contact you so we can let you know when the classes are going to be and how we're going to get things set up for people to understand, because the church is getting ready to wake up. And the church is going to look for the organization that the Most High has ordained to be able to bring some balance and some normalcy to this, because they already see all of the abnormal stuff all over YouTube. Because it's like anything else. The teaching sounds real good in the beginning, but if you listen hard enough and long enough, you'll hear it. It'll come out. And that's all the pastor was trying to say that spun this whole conversation, is that the church is beginning to wake up, but they're afraid of what they're going to walk into. They're afraid of how they're going to be received and whether or not they're going. Because once you figure you've been fooled one time, you know, fool me once, shame on you. But you fooled me twice, shame on me. So we have a responsibility to stick to the basics, the simplicity of the scriptures, because there's power in that. We don't have to argue about it, because we already separated. We're a hated people.
Yep.
We're already separated. We separated whether we want to be or not. But the Most High told us to separate ourselves, so that's what we're doing. Brother Donial, do you have any last questions before we say goodbye?
I just want to let everybody know that spoke today, you understand, keep calling in and voicing your opinion, and if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please feel free to speak on them. And I want to let everybody know that I love each and every one of you with that undying love that I have for the Almighty. You understand? I love you guys. You understand? And we going home. All we got to do is stay in the way. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. And I mine as well. Thank you all for all of your comments, questions, concerns, your passion. We love it all. But we're one nation. We love each other, and we're moving forward. We've been through enough. We have been through enough. Anytime we got an 18-year-old baby laying on the street with his brains blew out in broad daylight for no reason, anytime we have a black woman on the expressway in California with a California police officer sitting on top of her, beating her in the face, I mean, enough is enough. It's time to come together. We have to roll up our sleeves, put our isms and schisms to the side, and build a nation so that we can prepare those when the time comes for us to leave, to go home. And we say shalom, shalom, everybody. Thank you so much. And all those that are on the line that are part of the Nation of Yehuda, we are having a business meeting at 6:30. Please don't forget. Shalom, shalom, everyone.
Not one to have a loss for words. What I have to say you've already heard, but I don't think it will hurt to hear it again. Years have passed and your kiss is sweet, even better now soothing my heart still. How my passion feels just knowing that you're on your way home again. Nothing's perfect, wish to have our day, but that doesn't mean our love is strange. If anything, it takes me right back to you. I'm now wishes answered from the very start. Before hello, you have left your mark. One so deep I could not remove, even if I wanted to. Let me count the ways.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Sometimes it gets hot and heated over here in the nation of Yehuda with Israel, but it's all right because we still know at the end of the day that we love each other. We've been through enough. Let's try to get along so we can get out of here when the time comes. Thank you so much for all of you all who have been diligent listeners. We thank everyone for their participation, their comments, even though we agree to disagree agreeably and still love each other at the end of the day. We'll see you on Tuesday, Prince Asiel Show. We'll be there at 6:30. We hope that you all are there. Don't forget we're going to go down in prayer every day, Monday, at 9 o'clock p.m. We're going to pray Psalms 109, and we're going to pray it together in unison. And thank you so much for calling the Nation of Yehuda, the Yehuda Project. Don't forget we have an entrepreneurship call tonight at 7:30. You check the website, www.noymonarch.us. You're welcome to call in. We'd love to have you there, and we'll see you then. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Bye-bye.